Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to another night of God Bless Purpose Ministry here on Blog Talk Radio, where I am your servant, host, Pastor Olivia Deloach. Good evening, beloved. I'm just excited because we are going through our book, Awakening, by Priscilla Shire, and I'm calling this night and last week precious moments. It's just special moments because it's just giving us little tidbits of what we have. Amen. So I just want to start off in prayer. Father, we just thank you. We just give you glory. We thank you for another day, a day we have never seen before and never see again. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, oh God. We thank you for wisdom. We thank you for health. We thank you for strength. We thank you for making impossible possible. We just want to thank you because you are the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Now, Lord God, search our hearts and search our mind and give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive and lips to praise your holy name. And we ask all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I am just, let's do our declaration. And our declaration before we get started is, I declare God is going before me, making crooked places straight. He has already lined up the right people, the right opportunities, and solutions to problems. I haven't had no person, no sickness, no disappointments can stop his plan. What he promised will come to pass. This is our declaration. Praise God, beloved. It's been a while. We started back last week. And I hope we all are coming back, and not only are we all coming back, but we are letting others know to, hey, call in and join us. I'm trying to get us set up, beloved, where you can call in and we can talk person to person. Yes, yes, that is what I am. That should do that in the next couple of weeks. All right. But we want to just start off reading about no offense. You know, how many of us have been offended? You know my saying, get your pad, your pencil, your tablet, your cell phone, however you jot things down. But Romans 14 and 13 read, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. And sometimes I believe that we as children of God walk in the spirit of offense. We are so offended so easily. Let's begin to read. And it reads as this. The devil had his chance to pile on judgment against us for all our sins. We gave him plenty of ammunition to launch, giving our bit toward unrighteousness and our antagonism to God's way. But our kind Father, you know him, right? Made him who knew no sin to be sin on what? Our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. Write it down, beloved, so you can go back and read it. There is no condemnation. I love this scripture. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 and 1. Hallelujah. There's nothing left to judge here, beloved. And since the enemy can't judge us, excuse me tonight, I'm trying to, allergies. He wants to turn us into judges. Since he can't judge us, he has us, beloved, judging one another. In any gathering of people in Jesus' name, in any collection of the redeemed where a local church comes together, the opportunity exists of being critical. So we got to be careful. thinking the worst of people. Be careful. Holding grudges. Oh, my gosh. I just had this conversation with family members. And taking offense. We get so offended. We hold grudges. We think the worst. I've been guilty myself. We have to stop it. And our enemy loves this. The enemy loves this. Togetherness is one of the main things he wants to assault. He wants us isolated. He wants to break you up. He wants you to say, I'm good. He wants you to say, I don't have any friends. He wants to say, I'm alone. That's what he wants, isolation. He wants us to be on our own. He wants us to be long rangers without Taco. Okay? Tom without Jerry. Helka without Jekyll. Come on now. He doesn't want us to recognize the power of being part of the body, part of the family of God. He wants us embittered, laden with unforgiveness, pointing fingers, and separated by suspicion or betrayal. You know, we can pick up that real good, and we're not talking unsaved people. We are talking people say, I love Jesus, and he's the head of my life. So he pokes and he prods us together towards judgment of those around us until even as we stand beneath the free flow and shower of God's grace, we aren't willing to release the same grace on our brothers and sisters. Oh, that's a good place to put a mark. We want the grace of God, but we're not willing to give the grace of God. And when I say we, because we are many members in one body. What one of us do, it affects us all, okay? In the passage best known for its description of the armor of faith, of God rather, not faith, is Ephesians 6. You know, put the whole armor on. You know that scripture. One of the items listed as in this is what? The shield of faith. That's in verse 16, Ephesians 6 and 16. The function of this piece of spiritual protection, Paul said it like this. Brother Paul said, it's to help us be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Among the common tactics in the ancient Roman warfare, beloved, was the practice of shooting these fiery darts, as King James put it. The purpose of launching them, however, was not much to kill as it was to create the distraction. The entry of flaming arrows into the opposition camp would set the supplies on fire and threaten their living quarters. And the enemy knew if they could force the fighting men to break ranks in order to tend to the haphazard braves, they could exploit the resorting holes and weakness in the line. All you got to do is find the weakest link. You know that. Those little flashes of trouble that need putting out would keep the army too busy to fight back. Distraction. Distractions. You know what it is. Distraction. It's always a distraction. It's always something. You're walking out the door. You get a distraction. You get in your car, realize you had something else. You got to go back. The phone rings. Somebody's calling your name. Something break down. Something that you know that goes right all the time, all of a sudden it don't go right. Distractions. Distractions, okay? Praise God. And so what happens here? So when we get through little side squabbles and quarrels, we take the church off mission or off vision, and we do precisely what the enemy works. We take ourselves off mission, ourselves off vision. The line of defense against him is weakened when we can infiltrate more easily. We can't let the enemy keep tricking us in this way. We must stay united, committed to each other. So when you got ministry or in family, stay united. Stay committed to the process, beloved. Okay? We got to learn, as I said, defend each other rather than creating separation or exposes us to more attack. And let me tell you this. I'm just thinking about this. You don't have to agree. Our attitude determines our latitude. Sometimes our attitude is so nasty, and we talk about we hearing Jesus and stuff, but when things is not going your way or you something you not liking it, your whole face, your whole attitude show, I'm done. I'm shut down. I'm just here. And we think that's supposed to be all right. That is not all right. We make people feel uncomfortable in our presence. You have people walking around our eggshell because somewhere you've been hurt in life and you suck in the nipple of disappointment and chaos. Stop. Huh? Yes, 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 yes. So we want to come out of the spirit of defense, okay? So again, let us not judge one another. As the scripture said, there is only one lawgiver and judge, and the one who is able to save and destroy. But you who judge your neighbor. That's James 4:12. I think that's how it goes. So who is the person you tend to judge the most? Ask yourself, who's the person you tend to judge the most? What advantage do you think the enemy would gain by this division? Ask the Lord to give you sensitivity to others and insight on how to choose that. So that's a little homework for you. Our other little tip, big beloved, is hearing is believing. Hearing is believing. David and Goliath. Let me read the scripture. Behold, the champion of the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistine and spoke the same words as before. And David, listen here, heard him. That's 1 Samuel 17:23, the ESV version. David and Goliath, this story and the themes in it represent are so thoroughly familiar, tempting us to skim this passage and hurry through instead of mining the treasures, come on, beneath the surface. We got to go back and read the story and glean and get the nuggets out of it. But since the layers of meaning is God's spiritual voice, because I just said David heard, he will always make good, talking about the Lord, he will always make good on his promises to open up his word to us in refreshing, and I dare to say, a new kind of way. He'll give you, every time you read that word, I don't care if you read that right, a scripture 50 times a day, it's something refreshing should come out of it. The Philistine giant stood, what, 9 feet, 9 inches tall, imposing enough to cause even the hardened opposing soldier to be scared, to quake in his boots, right? Taking one look at this enormous warrior, the Israelite army, what do? They fled from him, and they were greatly afraid. That is 1 Samuel 17:24 said that. I want you to go back and read it now. But notice the little phrase that someone lost in all the battleground noise and the slingshot. Because you know we got caught up on the slingshot in the battleground. It was said here, Israel, catch this word, watch this. Israel watched. Make notice. Israel watched. David listened. And David heard him. Whereas the soldiers' perspective was shaped solely by what they saw, huh? In this massive force of brute fighting stature, David's perspective was formed by what he heard. He heard. Goliath was marking the armies and the power of the living God. And that's what made the difference. If he only been going by what he could see, sometimes people say what he see, he might have felt like shrinking back all the rest of them. If he would went by what he see, beloved, all he saw was an enormous giant, 9 feet, 9 inches tall. They used the word enormous. He was seeing. But instead of him seeing, going by what he saw, he went by what he heard. He listened to what the giant was talking about. Okay? But as soon as he heard what was coming from Goliath's mouth, he wasn't afraid to advance against him and the enemy. Likely you are currently as well dealing with one or more problems or battles in your life that are the Goliath size proposition, big and looming your situation, perhaps to the point of becoming dire and desperate. You know, desperate people do desperate things, but visual impressions only yield part of the story, beloved. What are you hearing from the midst of it? I know what you see, but what you hear? Are you hearing how impotent your God is to do anything about it? Are you hearing intuition of contradict of his word and his goodness, his fatherly intentions towards you? Is he insinuating that God is not hearing you? Is he insinuating that God is not good and he's not there for you? Are you hearing claims that your plight is hopeless, that this is the end of you, that your faith is preserving, is nothing but a big waste of time? What you hearing? What we listening to? Remember David's example. Don't allow the frightening names, dates, or specific of your situation to send you cowering, okay? Let the lies and the falsehoods stir in holy, listen at this, a holy indignation that rise up in your soul. Galvanize yourself in God's spirit with the courageous responsibility for standing tall on his word and strong in his truth, because nothing can thwart God's purpose. Nothing can move God's purpose. Nothing can stop God's purpose, even amid the most vicious challenges you face. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Rise up with his counsel from the scripture. Indignate against every lie that you're hearing. Then head out into battle to slay the giant in Jesus' name. All right? Isaiah 54:5 said, he awakens my ear to listen. Write that down. He awakens my ear to listen, like those being instructed. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn back. Isaiah 54:5. I like that. He awakens. Ooh, that make you want to shout. My ear to listen. God, speak to me, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. All right? And he speaks to me, right? He speaks to you. So what I want you to do, what type of things are your fiercest battle? Write it down. What type of things are your fiercest battles? What they saying to you? What are they saying? And declare, he awakens my ear to listen to those instructions. And God, tell me what to do about it. Okay, we about to wrap it up. Whew, that's good. He awakens. I'm still stuck there. He awakens your ear. He awakens your ear to listen. He awakens your ears to listen. He awakens your ears to listen. With those giants in our life. What are the giants in our life? What is the things that tell us that we have not? What are those things that are telling us that we're not good enough? What are those things that's telling you that nobody loves you and nobody cares? What is it? Ah, my God. What is it that telling that you'll never get ahead, that you the tail and not the head, when the word said you the head and not the tail? What is it? What giants will tell you'll never be start all over, that you lost so much, remind you all the time of your failures, that you the black sheep of the family? What? My God, today, you're nothing and you'll never be nothing. But God said he'll awaken. Oh, the scripture, he'll awaken my ears to listen. That's what David did. He listened to the Lord. He heard the Lord. While others seeing your demise, while others seeing your destruction, while others seeing your failure, while others
see that they think they're ahead, but or this is going to happen or not going to happen, while others think you're foolish. But God, tell somebody, but God, awakens my ear that I can hear. Amen. Let's move on. Let's move on. We don't have but a few minutes here. The little captive girl. And guys, you can probably take this one, this story too, even though it's talking about a little girl. It's coming out of 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 3. And the scripture said, she said to her mistress, I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, that he would cure him of his leprosy. Your father's talking about the heavenly father. His sovereignty is so completed, beloved. His dominion is so comprehensive. And his control over even your most difficult circumstances are so sure. There's really no situation in your life that is beyond his redeeming power. Not even one. Nothing. That word keeps coming back up. Nothing, 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 nothing is beyond our great master's power. Nothing. Somehow, even your most grim dilemmas contain the essential ingredients from which he can extract peace and hope, and yes, even a good, remarkable ending. God can turn it around. He can turn it around. Take the case of this little nameless, faceless girl thrust into the scriptures, the landscapes of the scriptures, 2 Kings chapter 5, as a political captive. And she was a native of Israel. She had been taken during the raid of her homeland and forced into slavery. Listen. Ended up in the service of the army's captain's wife. She became the captain's wife's slave. It was hardly the outcome she could have wanted. Yanked away from the familiar, pressed into the dangerous, unfamiliar. Have you ever found yourself in one place at one time and all of a sudden you somewhere else and you're like, I didn't buy into this. This is not what I was hoping for. This is not what I thought that the life was going to deal with me, okay? But she found herself went from familiar to not only unfamiliar, but dangerous unfamiliar. Yet in a twist of logic, that hard for the frail human mind to grasp. See, tell somebody, your mind so can't grasp it all. Your little human mind is smart and educated and intelligent that you are, my beloved. The Bible, come on, tell somebody. The Bible says God was the one who been behind this conquering of his people. When you don't see a way, God will make a way out of a way. Huh? The Lord had given victory to Armin. 2 Kings 5:1. His sovereignty had been actively involved in the dire situation. And believe it or not, beloved, his sovereignty is involved in yours too. Everything happens to you is either ordained. Listen. Either ordained by God or allowed by God. Yes, even the outworking of evil that touches your life must first pass through his loving fingers before it intersects with you. In other words, God, the devil got to get permission. He got to get permission. Somehow, he funnels it all towards a glorious outcome for your good, that's the Lord, in which his name is made great and his purpose are served. It ain't about you. It's not about you, beloved. It's all about him and only him. It's about his glory. Huh? It's about his honor. It's about who he is. Jesus is Lord. So in our little finite mind, why are you trying to figure it out? Why you think you got the revelation? He is subject to change. He is subject to blow the wind. He is subject to do whatever he do, I tell you. But it will be for his glory. Hallelujah. That's why this little girl, while captive in Syria, listen, found herself in the ironically ideal spot for exalting her God in a strange land. So when you passing through a strange land, and I'm not just talking physically, I'm talking spiritually, I'm talking emotionally. When you passing through a strange land, learn to praise him. When you passing through a strange land, know God already directing your path. When you passing through a strange land, realize God got this and he got everything you need while you on the journey as you pass through the strange land. Okay? He's got it. He's got you in the ideal spot. He ordained you to be right where you are, or he's allowing you to be right where you are because you are more than, not a conqueror, you are more than a conqueror for his glory. That's something to think about. Her master Naaman was a leper, if you keep continue to read the story. And in the course of this girl's work for Naaman's wife, she was brave enough to declare the power of God could heal him. You got to stop and speak a word. You got to speak what thus said the Lord. You got to speak to dead situations and circumstances. Things that don't seem possible, because thus said the Lord. God said it. His word. You're standing on the word of God. Yet not only did her faith, come on here, and her courage, she just didn't have faith, she had courage, eventually led the pagan soldier to testify. I mean, he said something. He spoke of it, and this is what he said. I know that there is no God on all the earth but in Israel. But even Jesus, centuries later, is testifying himself as the Messiah, pointing back to the healing of Naaman. Sparked into action by a little captive girl. You see what I'm saying? She got an unbeliever to say, I know that there is no God on earth but the Lord God of Israel. Come on here. Started from a little girl who said, thou shalt be made whole. Thou art healed. Walk up, pick up your bed and walk. This girl know what she have heard and read in the scripture, what she's been taught, what was on written on the imprint of her heart, praise God. Amen. And as proof of her in ministry to the Gentiles, her story was still speaking volumes today. So in your current circumstances, beloved, are not what you imagine they'll be. If your dreams have been dashed and your expectation unmet, if you've been taken captive by life, or if you kidnap into unfamiliar reality, that's you'd rather escape. And if you can't understand why anything like this should be happening to you, remember, God has sovereign plan, and you're part of it. Well, we got to end here. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I ask you to read Romans 10 and 9. I ask you to ask him to forgive you of all your sins, to come into your life, to take set and throne on your life and be the head of your life. I love you in Christ, and there is nothing you can do about it. Hope to hear that you listen in this time or next week. Be blessed and be a blessing.